Good morning. You are listening to The Beacon. Saturday of June, friends. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Fantastic.
First day of June. There's just tons of things to do.
So much happening. We are kicking into high gear.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Now, you know, I've come up with a new saying.
What?
That specifically applies to Chicago. Maybe not Chicago, but time flies as it gets warmer.
So true.
Because it's, you know, May came. And it's just, we just zipped through May.
Done.
Memorial Day was, right? Did you have a nice Memorial Day?
I did. It was, you know, it was, I'm realizing that as a parent of a 12-year-old, my life more or less revolves around chauffeuring her to her life. So we had, let's see, Saturday she went to a hotel with some friends. Sunday, she went and spent the night at another friend's house, and then I had to pick her up early Monday morning from that friend's house to go to Six Flags with yet another friend. So she had a great Memorial Day weekend.
Let's back up a little bit. What's going on at this hotel?
Oh, swimming. So a big thing that the kids like to do these days is just to stay at a hotel so they can take advantage of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
But So I wanted to get, because, you know, Memorial Day weekend was hot. So I wanted to get a hotel with an outdoor pool. Well, there's not a ton of options in Chicago for hotels with outdoor pools.
There isn't, really?
No, there's not. Because, you know, they can't.
Most of the year it's cold,
outdoor pool weather. So I found one, and it was perfect. It had a one-bedroom suite that I could shut myself off in so the girls could stay up talking all night long. And so we were, like, driving to the hotel, and I just had a gut feeling, like just a gut check that something was up with the pool. Like we were going to get there and disaster was going to strike. So I called them and said, hey, just wanted to call and make sure your pool was open. I've got a car full of girls that are coming just to go swimming. And he said, oh, no, the pool doesn't open until tomorrow. So they were actually filling it on Saturday, getting it ready, and then it wasn't going to open until Sunday. So that was a big detour in our plans. So I had to hustle and ended up finding another hotel that had an indoor pool, but the girls didn't care. They just wanted to go swimming. So all's well that ends well.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, so you're not caught this month without anything on your agenda. There's just a whole lot of stuff to do in Chicago.
Yes, there is.
And some very interesting things. Have you ever heard of the Dew Division Street Fest? No, because you live in Palatine.
Correct. But I could have still heard of it. What kind of street fest?
D-O.
Do.
The Street Shindig, booked by The Empty Bottle and Subterranean, kicks off this summer in June, of the first week of June, and it spans 10 city blocks. Imagine that.
In
celebration,
Chicago?
Yes. Oh. Bring a selection of local vendors and restaurants to Division Street. So, you know, it's a sidewalk sale, a runway fashion show.
Ooh.
Lots to eat. Indie rock veterans Ted Leo and the Pharmacists, Garage Rockers, La Luz, and Afrobeat band Antibalas headline. So that would be Sunday, June 3rd.
Where is that?
Division Street between Damon Avenue and Wood Street.
Okay.
East Village. So that's, they asked for a $5 donation.
Nice. Yeah, we're going to get all kinds of street fairs coming up.
Yeah, and there's, I was just glancing at the Reader, and the article that they had in there Thursday was, are there too many fests in Chicago?
I mean, it depends on who you ask, because some people live for the festivals, and others probably believe that there are too many options.
Well, you know, one that I think I might like is the Hyde Park Brew Fest. No explanation needed.
Is self-explanatory.
So, but if you ever wanted to see DJ Jazzy Jeff,
what?
He's going to be there headlining the music stage.
He's still around.
Yes,
I love it.
That's also Sunday. It's tomorrow. $30.
That's
hopefully
funny.
I don't know if I'll be able to get there, but
oh, that's tomorrow.
So that's going on. Of course, we've got the staples during the summer, and that would be the Chicago Blues Festival, which is free. And here's something that I really love, the Rib Fest.
Oh,
50,000 pounds of ribs and barbecue.
You and me both, kid.
Oh, boy. So there'll be all kinds of different types. So you can try the Texas barbecue, and then there's the East Carolina style, the Georgia style, the Memphis style.
Oh, man, you are excited just talking about it.
They suggest a $5 donation, and that's June 10th, Lincoln Avenue, Irving Park Road, Damon Avenue. Yes, the Rib Fest. And I've never gone before.
What?
No.
For a dude that loves ribs?
Yes.
You should get over there. Although that's kind of a trek from where you live.
Well, you know, it's no big. I'll just go there and look over the barbecue, and whoever has the best preparation, I'll try theirs. Mm-hmm. So there's just tons of things to do. And if you didn't get tickets to Lollapalooza, there's the Spring Awakening Music Festival with Deadmau5, Afrojack. A three-day pass is only $99. VIP is only $289. And just like Lollapalooza, they probably make some definite plans for people with disabilities.
Sure.
There's a section they make available for you.
Yes.
And here's something that I did not know existed in Chicago, the World Naked Bike Ride.
Oh, my God. In Chicago?
June 9th, the annual clothing-optional bike ride takes over the streets of Chicago, attracting hundreds of scantily clad riders who help raise awareness about cyclists and positive body image.
Well,
and you can check in for the ride at 6 p.m. It's in the West Loop, and it usually runs from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Of course, that's later.
When it's dark.
Yeah. With specific route details typically announced the day of the event.
Is that a Chicago thing, or do they do a tour every year and hit a different city every year?
That I don't know.
I've never heard of it being in Chicago.
No, I have not either.
Okay. So maybe they tour the country, and this year Chicago's the chosen city, lucky ones.
And then there's the Taste of Randolph, as usual. You know, Chris used to be over that way. Now we're housed in the Lighthouse, but many, many years ago we were over there, so we used to enjoy that. That's always a good time. The Country Lake Shake Festival. So if you like country music, you can go. Three-day passes are anywhere from about $199.50 to $249.50. They've got single-day tickets and then the VIP tickets from $299.50 to $599.50. And the Rudo Fest, and this is in Pilsen's Adams Medill Park. And you can see some of the diverse Latin American sounds and rock, pop, electro. And they also have a range of ticket prices. That's going to be at Adams Medill Park, Little Italy, and UIC on the June 22nd. And
this is all just June stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then there's a Chicago Town Hot Sauce Expo.
What? Hot Sauce Expo?
Yeah, set your taste buds on fire at this inaugural expo. It's the first one.
Ooh, fun.
Featuring spicy sauces from more than 40 different vendors. And what's the hottest? Is it the habanero?
The ghost pepper.
The ghost pepper,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the hottest. Ooh. Yep.
So you can get your tickets for that. It's only $15. Then there's beer and barbecue for $40 and VIP for $100. So I guess you can try them all and burn your mouth off or something.
What a deal, $15 just to burn your mouth off.
Right, and then there's the Chicago Pride Parade. That's also free coming up June 24th. And there's all kinds of sporting events happening, national events. There's all the major teams have their drafts and all of those things. But, you know, there are two events that are coming up that did not make that list that I read to you.
What?
Yes, and that I got the list from Time Out Chicago, so maybe we should send them a press release or something.
A strongly worded email?
Yes. Well, the first one that's coming up, we've talked about before, and that's Lighthouses on the Mag Mile. It's a public art display celebrating access and inclusion for people with disabilities. Now, that kicks off June 19th.
And that hasn't even started yet?
No.
Oh, we've been talking about it for so long. I assumed that it was ongoing.
Well, we want people to make sure that they're aware of it because it ends on August 11th. And once it does, the sculptures, the displays, however you want to put it, will be up for auction.
Oh.
Now, I happen to know that one of the sponsors of an artist's rendition of the Lighthouse is the Chicago Blackhawks. And so it's going to be on Magnificent Mile. You'll be able to see the lighthouses and also nearby neighborhoods, including Streeterville, River North, and Gold Coast. So you might want to scope these out and see if there's some that, you know, you like.
Yeah, and then you can fancy.
Yeah, and if you go to the Chicago Lighthouse website, specifically chicagolighthouse.org/event/lighthouses-on-the-mag-mile/. You can. That's a mouthful.
It's a lot of slashes.
Yes. Well, it might be worth it, but you can go there and you can register, and we'll send you a little note to let you know when it's time for the auction. So you can, you know, make sure that you get a chance to, if you see one that you like, you can get. Mm-hmm. And so this will highlight it's 50 lighthouse sculptures designed by various artists, many of whom have disabilities. So it's a great thing. And if you have any questions, you can always call Angela D'Antonio at area code 312-447-3246.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. And the other thing. And this is...
More?
There's tons.
Holy smokes.
June, because when it warms up, people want to get out.
Yeah, and, for sure. Did you just call me dude?
No, I don't think so.
I thought you said dude, because when it warms up, people want to get out.
Well...
But I like that I think that you called me dude, so I'm sticking with it.
Okay. Well, you might... we, again, want to mention the Four Seasons Hotel Chicago is the place for our Seeing What's Possible annual gala of 2018. And it's going to be starting, well, at 6 p.m. there's a reception and silent auction. And this takes place Friday, June 22nd. And then 7:15 p.m. there is a Greek dinner because there's a Greek theme this year. You don't have to wear a toga.
Toga.
Unless you really want to.
I'm
I wonder, maybe did they have cocktail attire togas back in Greek days?
They had fancy events back then.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just dolled it up with some fancy jewelry.
And there's going to be dancing and all those things. Valet parking is available. And let's see, the host, you'll never guess who the host will be.
You.
No.
Brett and Sandy.
No, I tried to squeeze into it, but, you know, they have someone... a lot better than me, and that would be Pat Cassidy and Felicia Middlebrooks.
Oh, from, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen, what, I used to listen all the time.
It behooves me. Yes, but everybody knows that they are the news anchors for a very popular news station in town. And we're going to be honoring Steve and Georgianne Pangier. So all of those things can be done, and it's still time for you to get tickets and even a corporate sponsor. And if you would like, you can call Lindsay Inglis at area code 312-447-3448, and she'll be able to take care of you. So you've been fairly warned, and so those are just some of the things.
If you cannot find anything to do this month, it is not our fault.
No.
We have given you the lowdown of, and honestly, that's probably just a small sample size of all the things that are actually available at our fingertips this summer. So.
Yes, because there's still, like the NBA has its draft, the NFL, they have something, and then the Major League Baseball, and then there is the Belmont Stakes, I think the U.S. Open, so there's just June.
Hey, June. Hey, June. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Lots happening in June. Okay. Well, that wraps it up for us today.
That's our show today, folks. But no, actually, there's still more to come.
We've got the Awe Factor and Luke's Laboratory. It's highly recommended. We've got all the usual suspects here. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and we will be back.
Mine.
Yes, you do. Good for you. You are prepared and ready to go. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His parents could only hope that one day he would leave the hospital healthy, and they would all live happily ever after. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. You can help the March of Dimes stop premature birth and bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Well, we are back, folks, on this second day of June. Yeah, that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
I'm Brian Hawkins.
I'm with Lady Cleveland.
And this is The Beacon right here on WCPT 820 AM. And we're here each and every week, a public service of the Chicago Lighthouse. And what's left now, Lainey is going to favor us with a wonderful story that will make us all feel even better than we already do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tough shoes to fill, my friend. Graduation season is upon us, and our story today is how hard work pays off for a determined teen who took the bus to graduation wearing his cap and gown. I love this story. It makes me smile. Graduations are happening all over the country and are, you know, receiving accolades for 4 years of hard work. Do you remember your high school graduation? Like, do you have memories around it?
It'll take me a while to dredge them up, but I can come up with something. But go ahead.
I'll never forget my high school boyfriend at the time. His dad, we were very close family friends, and he would make fun of me so much because I was that kid that was like, I can't believe this is the last time that I'm going to step foot in this classroom. I'm going to step foot in this. So he was always making fun of me about, like, I can't believe it's the last time I'm going to step foot in this bathroom. And, like, I will never forget that. It was just like, and I was so sappy and, like, emotional about it all. But anyway, I digress. For the entirety of his senior year, Corey Patrick has been waking up at 4 a.m. every morning to take the bus to Tarrant High School. The student, he had gone to Tarrant High School for most of his life, Tarrant City Schools actually, for most of his life, and then his senior year, his family moved out of the district. But he wanted to finish his senior year at this high school so he could graduate with all of his friends. To do so, however, he had to wake up at 4 a.m. and take the public city bus from where he lived to his high school. So people have been praising his hard work, and he got on the bus recently in his cap and gown because his family did not have transportation to his graduation. And so the bus driver, as he was getting off the bus heading into his graduation, the bus driver snapped a picture of him in his cap and gown. And he was there by himself. His family was not able to join him. So the bus driver posted the picture on social media with the caption, "You tell me this ain't determination. Sometimes it's all in what you want out of life. He didn't have on the best, but he was the best in my eyes. I was so proud of this black young man." So it was posted on social media. It was shared thousands of times. And of course, what happens when pictures go viral on social media of feel-good stories? He was invited on to a local radio show. The host is named Ricky Smiley. Smiley brought Corey onto the morning show so he could talk to the teen about his determination. And according to the student, it all paid off because based on that radio interview, he was offered a full scholarship to study computer sciences at Jacksonville University. Full scholarship. Not only that, Smiley then surprised Corey with a new car, along with free driving lessons. Corey is an inspiration to us all, says the program director of the radio station. His determination for success must be praised and recognized. Corey teaches us all a great lesson about endurance and how to push through no matter our circumstances.
Wow.
Corey, good job, buddy. College scholarship and a new car, all because he worked hard.
And so basically he took the bus and his cap and gown.
Yes. Yes. Apparently his family did find transportation at the last minute.
And they were there.
It doesn't specify, but he had already had to get on the bus to leave in order to get to his graduation on time because it was such a long haul. So it doesn't specify whether his family was there. It does say they were not able to find transportation until the last minute. So I hope that they were able to make it. But either way, he clearly has a lot of supporters who are rooting for him and cheering him on. And
right, and he's not worried about peer pressure. That's really great.
Yeah.
Because if it were me, I would have put my cap and gown maybe in a bag or something and taken it with me and put it on when I got there.
Right, because you're self-conscious and you're embarrassed.
It's like, oh, but then again, maybe he was proud that he was graduating and he wanted everyone to know. So
I mean, clearly he worked for it.
Yeah.
He worked hard for it. So one little picture goes viral. It's a cute picture. It's him walking away from the bus with his little gown kind of like flapping behind him in the wind, and it went viral, and good things happen.
Nothing's coming up. I can't remember my high school graduation at all. I remember my grade school graduation.
Really?
But not my high school, no.
Wow.
So maybe I didn't graduate.
Maybe you didn't. Maybe that's all a ruse.
No, I have a diploma, though.
Oh, so. That's good.
Or else I couldn't have gotten into college. Although, my first day of college at Columbia College, I was in a classroom with people who hadn't gotten their GED yet. And that was kind of a bummer, but...
Really?
Still trying to figure that one out.
Huh. But. Maybe it was a different time. Yeah. Although, I'm pretty sure you needed a high school diploma. I mean, at least when I was...
Well, maybe it was in the mail. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll just go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they got through the red tape to get where they were, so... Anyway, that is this week's The Awe Factor. Did you see an kind of an offshoot of The Awe Factor? Have you seen the viral video this week of the 8-year-old boy who stopped traffic to get out and help an elderly woman up the stairs?
No.
Oh, my gosh. So sweet. He had his mom pull over. He saw an elderly woman with a walker struggling to get upstairs, and he had no idea he was being filmed. He just told his mom to pull over, and so he gets out of the car and, like, puts his little arm around this woman and helps her up with the walker. And, it, like, there's just so much sweetness and tenderness. It's a little black boy and an elderly white woman, and I just, like, race shouldn't be an issue, but it is. The day and age we live in, it is. And to see just, like... doesn't matter, you know, the disparity from one to the other, and they just, like, he just saw a woman in need, a person in need, and went and helped her, and it was just so precious. And then at the end of the video, she leans over and gives him a hug, and I guess you can't hear it on the video, but I guess she told him he was special, and, you know, and then he just hops back down the stairs, hops in his mom's car, and off they go. But
who filmed it?
Just like a passerby. Like, a passerby witnessed the whole thing, like, saw this little guy get out of his mom's car and rush over to this elderly woman who, you know, probably was in her late 80s, if I had to guess. And, you know, I don't know if he even made contact with the parent of the child or not. Like, it just posted it on social media. And as these things do, we need good news in this day and age. So we see something nice and it went viral. So that was kind of this week's hot video.
Is that kind of disconcerting to you that you can be out somewhere and someone will either purposely or maybe just capture you, and then they'll post it and someone else will see it, and then folks will know where you are, what you're doing?
100% disconcerting, yes. Absolutely. Despite this being a nice story, it still entails a stranger filming another stranger, like without their permission, without their knowledge. Yeah, and there's a lot of that happens where the story isn't so nice, you know, like, and sometimes, you know, it's kind of nice when people are doing awful things and you can sort of capture it and make it go viral, and, you know, then there's consequences for that person where there may not have been, but it 100% feels like a violation.
Mm.
Yeah. So the world we live in today,
warning for everybody,
folks.
You start carrying release forms.
Right.
You got to
got to sign. Got to sign.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get the latest, find out what's highly recommended this week.
I started at the Lighthouse when I was still in college at UIC. It was 2012, and I worked here until about 3.5 years, until the middle of 2015. This is a GPS unit. It's a portable GPS receiver. When I was here, I did a lot of one-on-one training, but for this sort of stuff, I mean, I just, you know, do it on the phone and things, but I would walk people through. We'd go out in the community and actually work with it, you know. I never saw myself working in blindness until I worked here, and I started working with Tom Persky, and really, I had used technology and utilized blindness technology for myself. So coming here, I was able to start, you know, learning and working with technology, and really fell in love with it. The pieces were in place for the Lighthouse to work with the call center, but some of the accessibility needed to be assessed. And I was able to, you know, go through the standard training curriculum. And when I went through that, I was able you know, to assess where the needs were and where the various pieces were that needed to be worked on. One result of the tollway project was not only to make that system accessible, but to show that we were opening doors for, you know, the future of blind people and working in and around this area. And you can take that to a national level as well. So we were opening doors here in Chicago with this specific tollway project, but we can then, you know, shift that to opening doors for the totally blind population across the country or around the world. What I really think said so much about the lighthouse. I was upstairs in the call center and my house burned down, but most of my personal possessions were melted. And I had taken 2 days off, which I didn't ever really take any days off. And I just, you know, I had told my boss and just said, I really need to sift through everything here and try to figure out what's going on. And I came back to work and there was a pile of money and there was a coat and that was my lighthouse family was there. That was my call center. And I was the only male in that room. And it was such a great environment to be in. There is no way I would be there if it wasn't for the lighthouse. I'm positive. I'm absolutely positive. Not just when it comes to work or anything like that, but just being able to develop, you know, those professional skills. I mean, the communication, the emails, the everything it takes to really hold a real job. I mean, and when we talk about employment for blind people, it's about getting into the real world and holding that salary position, and it's not easy. And I never would be there. There is no way I would be there if it wasn't for the lighthouse. I wouldn't consider it to be a stepping stone. I would consider it to be a launch pad. It was a way for me to launch myself forward and upward in anything, you know, that I chose to do.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year. Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Beacon. I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Brian Hawkins here.
Hey, what's up, dude? I'm just calling you dude because you called me dude earlier.
Did I?
I'm still going with it. I've never heard you say the word dude, like, in my entire decade of knowing you, but I still like to think that you called me dude. So, I'm sticking with it.
Don't use that word often.
I know. I might use a variation. Really?
Yeah.
Like what? What's a variation of dude?
Well, it all sounds stupid, so you have to get it in the moment. So hopefully, maybe sometimes I will do that here, but...
Yes. My daughter, who's 12, she and her friends call each other bro. Like, that's the vernacular of the youth today. Yo, bro. Yeah, I'm like, come on, man. Like, it's calling people dude, but they're calling each other bro. They're all females. Not that that should make a difference, because I believe in gender equality, blah, blah, blah. But it's just interesting.
Yeah, well, it's a new form of language. It seems like... things aren't abbreviated enough. I was watching a television show the other day, and this young guy was talking to an older gentleman. He said, yeah, toads.
Oh, my gosh.
The guy's like, toads? What are you talking about? You know, and that's short for totally.
Right.
And he was using all of the kinds of slang. So
it's such a pet peeve of mine, and it's such a pet peeve of mine when people write in text language. So instead of writing out the word you, they just put the letter U, or, you know.
You don't like that?
I don't like that. I don't mind it in text.
Oh,
I don't use it in text. I'm a very uptight and militant about my grammar usage. So in text, I will always spell out the whole word. But if people are, like, if my daughter uses text language to text me, that's fine. But if she's writing a paper or something, never, ever will I allow that to pass as acceptable.
Well, my favorite for your is just U-R.
Yes.
Capital U-R.
Gosh. And I see people like my age, and granted, I'm in my early 40s now, who use those types of abbreviations and like...
You feel strange?
LOL. Yeah. It just feels like that's kind of a a youth thing. Like if I'm, I don't know, if I'm texting with a potential date and I get an LOL or something, I'm sort of like, okay, bye. Like it just, I don't, it just feels very young to me. I just feel like, I don't know. I'm not being very articulate about it, but I'm very particular about the way people communicate with me.
What is that you put on your hands?
Oh,
it smells good.
Hand sanitizer. Yeah, it's a hand sanitizer.
It doesn't smell like it. It smells like...
No, it's Honest Company hand sanitizer. So It's like, it's got a nice essence to it. I think it's like a citrus scent, a citrus aura, something like that. But I've got my hands all over, like pens, and I don't know where things go, so...
Well... what we're doing now, we're supposed to be...
We were all over the place with that.
Introducing the next segment, which is highly recommended. So it'll be interesting to see. I bet they don't have anything as sweet smelling as that.
Probably not.
That they can recommend.
You know what? I have a couple of others. I have a mojito one, and I have a lemon coconut one. So good.
The only time I had a mojito, it was the worst ever. There's no alcohol in it at all. But
mojitos are the best on a hot summer day. You had a bad experience. I'm sorry. Because they can be very transformative if you get a mojito.
Well, let's see if Brett and Sandy can transform us.
We are going to touch on a couple books today. We have some recommendations for you. But you have a book that you wanted to touch on. You touched on one last week, and I believe you have one from, it's the same author, correct?
Well, this book, the book we covered last week was Blindsided, and in that book, the author referenced the book called Safe Without Sight.
Oh, okay.
This is actually a book that was published by the National Braille Press. It was written by several authors, a psychologist, a rehab instructor, and a martial arts instructor. You know, Brett, I've always enjoyed reading how-to guides and, you know, not just about cooking or hobbies, but about different things in general.
Mm-hmm.
And this book, again, it's called Safe Without Sight, and it specifically covers self-defense for people with vision loss. You know, as we know, Brett, unfortunately, people with disabilities or vision loss, we are more vulnerable.
Yes.
To crime, to aggression from other individuals when we're out and about. So this book, it caught my attention. It was published in 1998, so about 20 years ago. But it's one of those books, Brett, that is always relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives different, first of all, it shares information for people who are blind, visually impaired, on, you know, the importance of knowing different self-defense techniques for when we're out and about in unfamiliar places. And it also talks about, you know, actual techniques that we can use. For example, you know, even things like how we can use our body, you know, to defend ourselves, to have contact with the...
Gain leverage.
Exactly, exactly. You know, because when we can't see... That's the crucial part, to actually know where the attacker is so that we can defend ourselves. And, you know, even tools, Brett, like the white cane or other things that you might have handy, it shares different techniques that you can use to defend yourself.
Yep.
And also different tips. For example, you know, as a lot of blind people, we take public transportation or cabs. And one of the tips, for example, that they share is that, you know, we should be in places that are, like anyone else, well lit. If there's a bus shelter, be in the shelter, especially at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just different tips that maybe we didn't think about before. And what's nice about this book, Brett, again, is that it actually describes the different positions, the different techniques. It describes them so that someone who is blind or visually impaired can easily understand.
And that's very cool.
And you know, Brett, it's one of those topics that, unfortunately, you know, we don't always want to talk about, but it's a very real topic. And that's why, you know, it's an important book. It's one of those things that hopefully none of us will have to use, but it's, you know, nevertheless, it's obviously highly recommended. But it's crucial for us to be aware of these types of resources and, you know, read these types of books.
Yes, very much so.
But I know, moving on, Brett, I know that you had a very fun book that you read recently as well.
Yeah, I actually just finished it this past weekend. I saw the movie a while back. The Martian is with Matt Damon.
Right, yeah.
And that movie is very, very good, but I wanted to actually... I got the book, I want to say it was almost maybe a year ago now.
Sure.
And I have been going through so many other books that this one finally came on my list that I'm like, okay, I just finally have to read this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's The Martian. It's by Andy Weir. It's very, very fun. It's kind of like if you combine, like, you know, most people know the story of Apollo 13 of, mm-hmm. like, everything went wrong on this mission to the moon. Well, this is an instance where on Mars they send a mission and there's a storm that happens on Mars and they have to make an emergency, like, takeoff.
Sure.
And what happens is Mark Watney, he ends up, like, getting injured, or he ends up having something go through his suit that makes it seem like he's dead. The rest of his crew look for him. They can't find him, and so they have to take off. Otherwise, they'll all be stuck on Mars, or they could die there. And so he ends up being stuck, and it's from his perspective that you're hearing all of the stuff that's happening to him. So he has these, like, video messages that he's basically leaving, video blog, I guess you could call it, where video diary, anything like that, whatever people are going to be able to picture, that's what he's basically leaving for them to find. Okay, if he dies, at least you know what happened. Like, he's trying to inform everybody on what exactly is going on with him, even though he doesn't have any contact with Earth to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
He does find eventually a way to do it. It's very, very cool because it's kind of like if anyone likes survivor stories,
yeah.
where you have to kind of makeshift stuff out of other things that are lying around, because he has this HAB that they left there on Mars because they have other missions that have been to Mars. And so he has this HAB that he's able to stay in. He's able to figure out how to grow crops on Mars. He's a botanist and an engineer. So it's kind of helpful that he has this background. And he's just this character, Mark Watney, the way that Andy Weir writes him, he's such a likable character. He's so sarcastic. He's so much fun. It's just, I was laughing through most of this this story, but you're also concerned for his well-being.
Sure,
like, you honestly
sure.
feel like at any moment he could die because something went wrong in his suit or some other thing happened that you're like, okay, there's no way he's going to figure out a way to survive.
Survive.
But he's so smart, and he keeps his head about him, and he just has this sense of humor about what situation he's in that I myself, like, I would hope I could handle myself in a situation like that. Such a stressful situation where you're the only person on this planet and you're having to try and have such ingenuity to figure out how to keep yourself alive for a few more years until the next group of people come to Mars for their, like, the research that NASA's doing. And so the contradicting side of it is you're not only paying attention to what's going on with Mark Watney, but eventually, later in the book, you actually get to see what's going on Earth with NASA here in the United States. And NASA themselves is trying to figure out, oh, wait, they figured out that he's still alive because they thought he was dead, too. So if you get a chance, Sandy, you have some extra time. It's about a 10-hour listen. I listened to the Audible version, which I believe the same narrator is on NLS as
sure.
well.
Hmm.
And it's just, it's won a couple awards for the audio version, so mm-hmm. it is a fun listen. But if you're a person who just likes to read it yourself, you'll enjoy it just the same. But the Audible version is quite fun to listen
to. All right, well, I'll have to check it out.
But I think that's all we have for today.
That is it, Brett. Thanks to everyone for listening to It's Highly Recommended.
1 in 6 of the wounded U.S. soldiers evacuated from Iraq and Afghanistan battle zones suffered eye injuries. That's the highest rate of eye injuries since the Civil War. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, part of the Library of Congress, is stepping up to help. NLS works with military hospitals, rehab centers, and groups such as the Blinded Veterans Association to make sure that service members who have sacrificed so much for their country can still experience the pleasures of reading. Through the free NLS Talking Book Program, eligible veterans have access to thousands of bestsellers, biographies, westerns, self-help books, and more, and a variety of magazines. Veterans receive priority service from NLS, but any U.S. resident who is blind, has low vision, or cannot hold a book because of a physical illness or disability may sign up for the program. To learn more about what NLS can do for you or a friend or loved one, visit www.loc.gov/NLS or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
Well, you know, one of the big stories this past week, incidentally, we're back, this is the Beacon. One of the big stories this week, Lainey, was the Roseanne Barr. What's your take on that?
You know, mixed feelings. I was a big fan of Roseanne when it was airing in the, not her per se, but her show, when it was initially airing in the 90s. I'm never a really big fan of hers. Like, I found her behavior pretty crass, but I was never deeply offended by, you know, like her butchering the national anthem just seemed obnoxious to me more than anything. But I hadn't heard much about her in the past decade or so.
Well, no. She was living off residuals, probably.
I'm sure.
I think she had a talk show in between the time that they started the reboot of Roseanne.
But that didn't last long. No. She's not a very... She's rough around the edges as a person, to put it... I mean, even before all of this. I mean, just listening to her talk, you're like, ooh, that's a little harsh.
Go ahead.
But I liked a lot of the issues they were dealing with on the reboot. I think that there were important issues that were being discussed, which is, you know, and I was kind of thinking about this, like, she, one of the characters on the show was a gender fluid child, and one of the relationships on the show was an interracial relationship, and she dealt with her own biases against a Muslim neighbor who moved in, you know, and it all seemed to have a positive message to it, and yet for her to come out and just be so seemingly anti everything that her show was kind of like trying to lift up, it is very confusing, but I absolutely think that there's no room in our world for that type of behavior, although of course at this point, well, I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Well, you know, yeah, Roseanne, I think, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully she'll be okay, even though she doesn't have the number one comedy show for the past season. ABC hadn't had a number one show in like 24 years.
Really?
Yeah. And so, but they dumped it pretty quickly. And
within hours.
That's up to them. But the thing that I think about is the other people who were involved, the writers, the other actors and all those folks. And I didn't bring it in with me, but there was... I think a psychologist who talked about how you should deal with that kind of thing. If you're in a situation where you are working with someone and then they do something that causes you to lose your job through no fault of your own. And his suggestion is simply that most times people will know that they're working with someone who has that type of personality trait, and the thing to do is to distance yourself from it and to take care of your own brand, so to speak,
right,
as far as being a person who, you know, is out there in the workplace. So,
right,
you know, obviously that Roseanne thing is a national story, but that might happen, you know, to individuals that aren't so famous. And so that's just one way you can deal with it. If it happens to you, you got this great job and something happens, either someone quits and then the whole thing just blows up, or they do something and, oh, we're not going to do that now, so we're scrapping the project. That's something to think about.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think it's unfortunate. I mean, I think some of the co-stars of the show are very, you know, Laurie Metcalf, John Goodman, they're big movie stars. Like, Sarah Gilbert's got a pretty established career. The others, it's unfortunate. And in fact, the girl that played Roseanne's granddaughter on the show, like, as soon as Roseanne's tweet came out, she actually called her manager to let them them know that she was quitting the show. So there was a lot of backlash from it. So I get it. You know, I mean, I get both sides. I'm sad to see it go. You know, I Roseanne was always kind of like, the show was always kind of like comfort food to me, you know, just kind of like this Midwest, down home, down on their luck, you know, just always struggling to make ends meet kind of family. It felt relatable, and I think a lot of people felt that way about the show. But I also think that there's no place in our world for people who are going to use a platform to spread hate. So that's my take on it.
There you go. Well,
you can always blame it on the Ambien. Did you see Ambien came out, or I forget what the parent company is called, but they came out with a press release yesterday.
Yeah, Ambien doesn't cause racism.
Yeah, they're like, some of our medications do have side effects. As far as we know, none of the side effects cause racism. It's like, yeah, well, it's been an interesting year for branding, for sure.
Yes, it has. And it's going to get even more interesting. And two guys that will contribute to making it more interesting are coming up next to discuss the latest in adaptive technology. Of course, you're listening to The Beacon here. I'm Brian Hawkins, and along with Lainey Kleeman. And I'm talking about Luke Scriven and Juan Suarez. And they're in Luke's laboratory cooking something up. And I'm sure he's got a new customer of the week, as well as an update on road shows.
Good morning, Luke. How are you? Good Saturday.
Yep. Just recovering after the Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Plenty of sunshine, plenty of good living.
What a beautiful weekend.
It was a beautiful weekend, and this week is shaping up to be pretty good as well.
So this week we're talking about different types of things that people are possibly dealing with when they have a multiple set of things that they have to overcome to try to balance out on top of having a visual impairment, correct?
Yeah, exactly. This all came about because this week I met a gentleman who, he was a doctor, but he needed to regain his medical license. And in order to do that, he had to sit an 8-hour exam, if you can believe that. So he needed to do that, and it involved using a computer in order to answer questions. And you know, so we would have to sit there for 8 hours using this computer. Now, there was two big issues here. One of them was his visual impairment. He had glaucoma, and that reduced his ability to use a computer, specifically due to issues with glare. And the other big problem was he had a neck injury, and this neck injury made it impossible for him to sit in one position for such a long time. It would have been extremely uncomfortable, and, you know, essentially he wouldn't have been able to do it. So we had to think about two different, you know, things which were going on there and solutions which might help him overcome those issues. And I thought it was interesting because, you know, sometimes we have other issues as well as our visual impairments, which can make it more difficult to carry out those activities of daily living. One thing which could benefit a lot of people is a desk which can be put into different positions in terms of height. And so you can get desks where if you hit a lever, they will go into a standing position. So now you can stand and use your computer. And if you then push them down, they go back into a seated position, and then you can sit and use the computer. And obviously you could do that with a CCTV as well. So that's one potential solution. Another solution, this gentleman, he had to get close to the screen in order to read what was on the screen. And that was very bad for his neck, and also bad for the glare issues which he had. And so we examined the use of ZoomText, which is a computer magnification software which includes contrast enhancement and color change. And so for him, and generally for glaucoma, a black background with white text works well because it reduces a lot of the glare. And so that was one solution for the glare. And then magnification allowed him to sit further back from the computer screen, so he wasn't having to get into that position where his head was up against the screen and it was causing, you know, trouble for his neck. And so that also provided another solution. Some of the things which might be a little bit more out of the box, shall we say, I want to talk about some of those solutions. So for this gentleman, standing up was preferable to sitting down. Because of his neck issues. And so I already talked about a standing desk. Another thing which could be useful would be a handheld monocular, basically a telescope. So he could stand up somewhere in the room and use his monocular to focus in on the computer screen. And that would give him another potential position in which to view the computer screen. So that was another good solution. Another one that we had sounds very simple, but being a technologist, it's not always the type of thing that I would automatically think of, is having somebody available to read the questions from the computer screen to you. That way you can be anywhere in the room, listen to the questions, and you reply to them. Now, he still would be required to look at images of patients with various skin diseases and things like that. So he still would have to look at the computer screen to some extent, but it would be vastly reduced. And so that was another potential solution. There's probably many, many other things which could be done. And this is obviously one specific example. But I guess the point is that, you know, if you do have physical issues, whether that be you are wheelchair bound or you have a neck injury or a back injury or something like that, which prevents you from staying in one position or makes it awkward to get to, you know, a particular device that you want to use, with a little bit of thought, there is going to be a solution that will help you access your assistive technology. And so if you do have a visual impairment as well as some other type of impairment, then, you know, give us a call and we would be happy to discuss how we might be able to, help you out with that.
That's a great thing. And also, of course, you can also contact our Tools for Living store at 312-997-3683. And that's some great solutions for a lot of people, probably some things that didn't exist maybe even 5 years ago.
Well, you know, technology is always moving forward, and that's what keeps it interesting. So if you haven't, you know, thought about technological solutions for a few years, then it's definitely worth taking a look and seeing what's available now.
All right, available right here at the Chicago Lighthouse. And with that, it's time for this week's
Customer of the Week. That was a bit of a musical one that I tried out there. Okay, this week's Customer of the Week is a gentleman by the name of Elmer. And he lives in a retirement community. And I recently sold him a OCR device, a device which is able to take a picture of printed text and read it aloud to you. And he was having a wonderful time with that. However, it stopped working, and he asked me if I could go out and take a look at it, which, of course, I did. Now, something that's important to note about Mr. Hutchinson is that he has a tremor, and so when he reaches for the power button on this device, oftentimes the tremor means that he hits the power cord as well, and that can actually prevent it from turning on, because he hit the power cord, it won't be connecting properly anymore, and then the device won't turn on. I already knew this when I went out to see him, so initially I had taped the power cord against the machine in such a way that if he hit it, it would still work fine. And that seemed to be going okay, but unbeknownst to me, while I wasn't there, his wife had decided to add even more tape onto the machine. And unfortunately, she taped it in such a way that the power cord wasn't connecting properly with the machine anymore. And so it wasn't receiving any power. And it worked on its battery for a little while. Then the battery ran out. And then all of a sudden, it didn't work anymore. So I went out to visit him, managed to realize what had happened within a couple of minutes and fix the problem. And we had a good laugh about it. And I went on my way. So it was a funny experience. Just goes to show sometimes, things which seem like big problems are actually small problems and just need a little bit of investigating.
All you got to do is plug it in.
There you go. All you got to do is plug it in. There you go.
That's, of course, a service that we offer here at the Lighthouse, and you offer that service if someone needs for you to come out to their home to help them with various types of technological issues or just some help with issues that they might be having with a computer or things of that nature. You can always do that as well, correct?
Yep, so you can give us a call. If we can help you over the phone, then we will do that. If we need to come out to your place, then we can discuss that. And as always, you can organize those things by calling 312-997-3649.
Any road shows coming up?
Yep, we got one next week. And first of all, actually, I should say we had a road show in Glenview. That was last week, and that was a great roadshow. So thank you to everybody who came out to that. Met a lot of familiar faces and met some new people as well, and got to talk tech with a bunch of people, which is always fun for me. So that was good. The show next week is going to be next Wednesday, and the address is the CIBC Bank, and that is Founders Square, 7103 West 111th Street, and that's in Worth, Illinois. Please, you know, if you are available, come out and say hello to us. If you want us to bring specific technology, then we are more than happy to do so. And if you call me beforehand at 312-997-3649, then you can ask me to bring out a specific technology if you have interest, and I'd be more than happy to show that to you.
And what time is the roadshow?
10:30 until 3 o'clock. And if you're free during those hours, please come and say hello.
That sounds like a plan. Thank you so much, Mr. Luke Scriven. That does it for this week's Luke's Laboratory. I'm Juan Suarez.
A buffet of information, if you will. But it was fun. It was good. So we are wrapping up for our first Saturday of June. Many thanks to our president and CEO, Dr. Janet Slick. And there is a plethora of activities for you to participate in this month. So get out there, have fun, enjoy it. We've got, you know, we're on the clock as far as our nice weather goes. So take advantage of it while you can.
I'm betting on the annual gala. 2018.
You're betting on it?
Well, yeah, that's going to be a good time had by everybody.
I would guess that it is.
Yes.
I'll take those odds.
And a little bit of dancing and a program to talk about the lighthouse and what it's been through over the past year.
Love it.
So if you'd like to be a part of that, just email Lindsay Inglis at chicagolighthouse.org or call 312-447-3448.
Sounds good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, friend. Well, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week, same time, same place. Bye-bye.